Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Well, at least it did when I was driving along the M40 on Friday morning at 7:45, passing High Wycombe, and the snow came down. Didn't last very long. But anyway, nice kind of hint that Christmas is nearly upon us. Lots of preparations are going on. Presents and cards to buy and food, and in church life there's invitations to give and practices to attend and artwork to finish, planning of services and special events. If you can help with a little bit of preparation for a special event this afternoon after the service, Solos are having their kind of Christmas party this afternoon. They like to put some decorations up. It involves going up a step ladder, so really we need a couple of people to do that. So if you can help doing that while the rest of us are having coffee, that would be great. So see Janet. Janet, where are you? There she is. Janet's waving. See Janet, and she'll give you the decorations and tell you where to put them. Now, there's no need for that, is there? Thing about Christmas, though, is blink and you'll miss it. Blink and you'll miss it. It all seems so fast, doesn't it? I remember my brother-in-law, Chris, telling me what happened one Christmas morning in his house, not when he was a child, but when he was a bit older. They got up. Their tradition is, you know, they get up and they open their presents straight away. And they'd opened all their presents, and Grandma sits back in her chair and says, and I can't do a Yorkshire accent very well, unless I'm talking to somebody from Yorkshire, and then it comes naturally, says, well, that's Christmas done for another year. All over in 10 minutes, you know, on a Christmas morning. Well, it's not Christmas yet. We are in the season of Advent for the next 4 Sundays. A time of preparation that helps us to savour God's gift of a saviour. Did you see what I did there? Saviour? Oh, I thought it was quite clever. Anyway, to saviour, God's gift of a saviour born to you. Christ the Lord. A time to go beyond the cuteness of a baby lying in a manger. To grow in the hope, which John's already spoken of, the hope of Emmanuel, God with us. And we need hope in our lives, as John has already hinted. The world is not a hopeful place at the moment. We need some light amidst the gloom and the darkness, and maybe that's why Christmas is so popular, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, when it tends to coincide with the shortest days and the darkest nights. We need hope for our life in the darkest and the coldest season, when life seems gloomy and uncertain. We grab at any hope that is around. Zephaniah the prophet, he lived in a moment in the history of the people of God when there was hope. But just like Christmas, blink and you would have missed it. At the start of Zephaniah, it kind of places him in the history of God's people in Israel. The word of the Lord, it says in verse 1, that came to Zephaniah during the reign of Joash, king of Judea, one of the good guys. One of the last kings of the nation. Born and reigning in a critical time of great challenge. King of Judea. The sister nation to the north, Israel, was gone. Destroyed totally by the Assyrian superpower. And now Judea in the south is sandwiched between two other powers, Egypt to the south, Babylon to the north. And for decades and generations, they've suffered under a succession of poor kings. And now they've got an untested king. He was 8 when he came to the throne. And he faced a situation where there'd been poor spiritual leadership for generations. Imagine you coming to church this morning and there's a gift shop in the foyer offering you all the kind of gifts that you might want to give this Christmas time. And in the corner over there, there's a kind of a stall selling calendars and wrapping paper. And over here is a stall, like you get the Christmas markets, all those nice German types of food and mulled wine and things like that. And down here at the front, we've got Father Christmas seated. And you have to pay a fiver to come and see him. Imagine a church like that at Christmas time. We've got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer playing in the background. And it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And maybe I'll go into the recording business and do that. And we've got the latest blockbuster Christmas film showing on the screen there. And there's no sign of a manger with a baby. There are no Bibles in the pews. Just a brochure telling you where the latest and best Christmas meals can be bought. There's no sign of the story of Christmas. Imagine coming to a church like that over the next 4 weeks. Well, that's what the temple in Jerusalem was like in Joash's time. It was supposed to be a place which symbolized God's presence amongst the people. And in the middle of it was the Holy of Holies, the place where the God box was, the Ark of the Covenant. Yet in Joash's time, it was empty. In Joash's time, it was filled with pagan altars and pagan worship and prostitutes. No sign of the worship of God. But 18 years into his reign, 18 years when he was about 26, somewhere in a back room of the temple, the Torah is discovered, the book that we find at the start of our Bibles, and somebody brings it to him and he has it read to him and he realizes how far they have fallen. And his zeal is ignited. And he clears the shrines out, he repairs the temple, he restarts the worship of God. They celebrate Passover for the first time in decades. Perhaps centuries even. It says actually they never celebrated Passover like this since the time of David, centuries before. And hope returns to the land. But blink and you'll miss it. Blink and you'll miss it. Because 13 years later, he is dead. Killed in a battle. And with him dead, hope dies too. Blink and you'll miss it. God's ways, the worship of God falls away again. And what Zephaniah describes in this passage that God says he will take out of the nation is back in at the heart of it. Arrogant boasters who just look out for themselves. People being haughty on God's holy hill. People just ignoring God's ways and saying they know best and better. A land filled with deceitful tongues where the truth is fluid to suit your own ways and interests and cover your own mistakes. A land where the people are afraid for their own security, for justice and the lack of it. Scared because they're just making ends meet. I find that strangely resonant with the news today and our lives. People are in need of hope, not hope promised by human leaders or by the achievements of human lives, not a hope that is passing, but a hope that is more permanent, A hope that's rooted in two things. A hope that's rooted in God's presence and God's promise. Because that's of the hope that Zephaniah speaks of to people who have a glimpse of hope which has been snatched away. He speaks of the Lord being with you. And he speaks of a day in the future when the people will say in Jerusalem, "Do not fear." Advent isn't just a time of preparation for getting ready for Christmas Day, for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. It takes a much bigger view and longer view than that. One of the themes that we remember in Advent is not the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, but we remember his coming again to bring the fullness of God's reign, rule, and life. The moment that in Revelation it declares as a time when the dwelling of God is with people and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. They will be his people and he will be their God. We need to keep that hope in mind as we journey through Advent. It's a future hope that is promised by one who can deliver, who Zephaniah describes as a mighty warrior or mighty to save, who has the power to overcome and take away from the fullness of life that he wants for us. It's a God who takes great delight in you, who is for you, no matter what anything or anyone says to you about who you are. This God is for you. He delights in you. And it's a God who rescues the lame, the broken, the hurt, who seeks our wholeness. This is the hope that Zephaniah proclaims to the people and invites them to place their trust in, known in part in human history. They've had a fleeting glimpse of it, but yet to be known in full on that day. An invitation to put their faith in this hope, despite what they see around them. And believe me, for them, it was not going to get any better. And yet still, he invites them to place their trust in this hope. Faith which the writer to the Hebrews captures in that verse which is so well known to those of us who have read the Bible for ages. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is a kind of faith that he calls them to have, to put their faith in this hope. They can't see it yet, but God is faithful to his promise. And he is with them. This isn't wishful thinking, it's not blind faith. It's based on when they know the character of God in their history. And we too are invited to place our faith in this, not as an act of blindness or wishful thinking for something better, because we have seen glimpses of this God in our lives, in this world, in others' lives. It's hope in a promised future that is received in humble trust in the character of God. It's hope in a promised future that we continue to build in our lives as we rejoice over this promise in our hearts and in our worship. It's not always easy. because sometimes the situation that we face in life can seem almost crushing, and it's all we can do to stand, never mind, praise God. But there's great power in trusting God in the midst of the gloom and the darkness and the weight of the difficulties of life. That's the strongest faith, even if it seems to be the moment when we are weakest. Advent is a time for such faith. Advent is a time for such trust to grow, to know again and trust in the promise, especially the promise of God's presence. God is with you. God is with you. God is with us. Known in human life through the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Known in the darkest moments of life because Jesus shared those moments in the darkness of the cross. Known because the Holy Spirit, God's gift to us, draws us into the life of God now and embraces us into the promise and hope of resurrection life for the future. The Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, received in part now, in full, on that day when he comes again. Hope that is bigger than a blink, than a moment, than one day a year. But will it stay with you after Christmas? Or are you going to blink and miss it? Are you going to blink and miss it?